Blog Talk Radio.
Just want to say a hearty hello to everyone. Hi, and welcome to this special edition of Christian Talk. Well, I have to say today I'm half-baked. I don't have my other half with me. You know, it's usually tea and tea, but tonight I'm afraid you're just going to have to deal with tea. No one tea, that's me. Okay, most of you know that Pastor Tasila is really a virtuous woman. It's who I call a Proverbs 31 woman. She's very busy, and she's always helping somebody, whether it's family members, friends, or even strangers. She's a giver and a worker for the Lord, and she's just doing, fulfilling some obligations that she has to fulfill. So we're going to miss her tonight, but she's with us in spirit. Always remember that. She's with us tonight in spirit. I would like to welcome all of my UCA members. Some of the UCA members are on also, but I'd like to welcome all of our regular Christian Talk members and just want to say hi to everybody. And you know what I usually like to do? I usually like to have you all to pick up your phones, dial in, and go to your inbox on your computers or whatever and call friends and family and tell them to tune in. This is a special edition of Christian Talk tonight. So tune in and have them to dial in. The number is 646-668-8537. Once again, it's 646-668-8537. You want to go ahead and do that, or you can just click on the picture or the link that you see on Facebook for this particular show. Now, keep in mind, on Facebook, you can click on the link. You can click on the link anytime. Tonight, you know, you want to listen to the show, and then after tonight, you can, if you still see the post, you can still click on it, and it will play the entire program, It'll play. So you can listen to it tonight and all this week. So just go ahead and make sure you do that, all right, in case you missed the show. And you can tell other people, too, in case they missed the show, they can do the same thing. They can go ahead and still click in there and wherever they see the post the post for this particular show, and just listen from your computer. Or, like I said, or just dial in. Dial in tonight, 646-668-8537. You can also look for us on, you might see our post on LinkedIn or Alignable, Instagram, wherever you see it, Twitter, wherever you see it, just go ahead and click on either the link or the picture. And go ahead and listen from your computer or, like I said, dial in. And don't forget also to watch T. Meyer and Tasila McCain on HSBN.TV. Our program is called The Message of Life, T. Meyer and Tecila McCain. You don't want to miss that either, okay? HSBN.TV, or you can just go to YouTube and put in T. Meyer McCain, T. Meyer and Tecila McCain. You can do that. Now, in case you don't know how to spell my name, it's T-I-E-M-E-Y-E-R. Once again, T-I-E-M-E-Y-E-R. That's T. Meyer, and Tosila is T-O-S-I-E-L-A. T-O-S-I-E-L-A. T. Meyer and Tosila McCain, The Message of Life. You don't want to miss it. There's some very powerful messages, and I know that you will be blessed, so go ahead. We're also on iHeartRadio and many others. So just tune in, The Message of Life with T. Meyer and Tecila McCain. On YouTube, just put The Message of Life, T. Meyer and Tecila. Okay, T. Meyer and Tecila McCain. You can do that. Yes, and don't forget that we have our book out. I've released a book called Who is God? Unveiling the Mystery. Now, this is really good because as Christians, we need to know the God we worship, the God we serve, the God of the Bible. We really need to know the Lord. Now, we won't be able to fully know all of the greatness of God, but he does unveil different parts of himself. He gives us revelations of himself so that we can get to know him more. And the more we know him, the more we fall in love with him. So this book is called Who is God? Unveiling the Mystery. And it is a mystery, by Pastor T. Meyer McCain. It's available on Amazon right now. So go ahead and order it for yourself, for your family members, and for your friends, okay? All right, and we would like for you to join us every Sunday at 1:30 p.m. in the afternoon, every Sunday, for our services, Church of Jesus Christ Ministry. Okay, and it's 869 North Euclid Avenue, Upland, California, 91786, every Sunday, 1:30 p.m. Come and join us. You will be blessed. You'll be blessed. There's beautiful people there, and you'll be just straight out of the basket blessed, okay? All right. Don't go away. We're going to be right back after this. Stay right there. Right there.
Your love to change my crown, you know.
Of Christian Talk. Just want to let you guys know it's tea time on Christian Talk. You just have me. For those of you who just came in, I just want you to know that my other half isn't with me right now, but she's always with me, but she's just not physically with me right now. She's handling some business and things that a virtuous woman always do. And also, wait, hold on for a minute. Do you guys hear this? Wait, hold on. That means something special is about to happen. This is a tea moment or a tea time that you're going to spend with me. And I have a special message for all of you, a very special message. And I just pray, Father God, that you open the hearts and minds of the people that are listening, all those who have tuned in tonight. Open their hearts, Lord, and help them to understand the words that are being spoken tonight. And Lord, help them to get the revelation and the full understanding of who you are, the revelation of Jesus Christ, the reasons why many things that you've done for us, why you did it, the reasons for it, Lord. And just everything, Father God, help them to understand this message this very night and help them to grow and wax strong in the spirit of the Lord. In Jesus' holy name, I pray. Amen. And amen. Thank you, Lord. The title of this message tonight is this. It's a question. Did Jesus go to hell for us? Did Jesus go to hell for us? That's the question. Did Jesus really go to hell for us? Well, many say he didn't, and many say he did. First of all, let's briefly examine hell. What is and where is hell? Hell is the abode beneath the earth, a spiritual place of the unredeemed dead or the spirits of the damned. Hell is a negative place of continual sorrows, pain, agony, fear, suffering, burning, hatred, depression, and hopelessness to the highest degree. Hell is a place of total darkness. It is so dark you can feel it, with an occasional light from burning flames, light enough for you to see the most grotesque, filthy, nauseating, foul-smelling demons that you have, I mean, just really will cause you to be full of fear once you see these things. It's a place of total exhaustion. You just exhausted, and there's no rest. You can't even rest. No relief, just constant torment. Hell is a total separation from God. Understand that. Hell is total separation from God. It is a place where there is no real life, no pure life. It's no love, no gentleness, no kindness, no music, singing and dancing, no joy and happiness, no fresh air or good food, no beauty or positive energy. None of that exists in hell. The early church believed that after his death, after the death of Jesus, that he descended into hell in order to rescue the souls of the righteous, such as Adam and Eve and many of the other saints. Jesus descends and breaks down the doors of hell, unbinds the prisoners, and leads the just to heaven. Believe it or not, some people don't believe that hell truly exists. But Jesus spoke often of hell. Therefore, it must exist. Even Peter affirmed the true existence of hell when he spoke of the angels who left their first estate. This is in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. He said, "For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but sent them to hell, putting them in chains of darkness to be held for judgment." They went to hell. Some Christians don't believe that Jesus descended into hell, but scriptures confirm that he did. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 19, "For Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit, in which he also went and preached to the spirits in prison, who disobeyed long ago when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built." According to Peter, Jesus spent time between his death and his resurrection in hell, preaching to the souls who were already there, giving them a chance at the forgiveness available through his sacrifice, not previously available before his death. Even the Apostles' Creed, and some of you may not have ever heard of this, but it's the Apostles' Creed. It's where the apostles got together and they wrote a creed, and they were in agreement with it. And it confirms that Jesus descended into hell. Here is, I'm going to read right now, the entire Apostles' Creed. It's written and agreed upon by the 12 apostles themselves. Here it is. It says, "I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You see, hell is the place or state into which unrepentant sinners pass in the general judgment, or as some Christians believe, immediately after death. Hell is, like I said, total separation from God. It is the total opposite of heaven. When Adam disobeyed God's direct commandment, he was destined for hell and death. We must understand that when Adam died, the whole man died, body, soul, and spirit, body, soul, mind, and spirit. Therefore, when Jesus died on the cross for us, he died for the whole man, mind, body, soul, and spirit, which means that all of the sins of the world were placed on Jesus from the time of Adam's sin even to this very day. Jesus died as though he were a sinner, like you and me, having all of our sins, every one imaginable, placed upon him. He became the scapegoat for humanity. And for those of you who don't, you may have heard that term, scapegoat, but for those of you who don't really know where it actually came from, the high priest would lay their hands on a goat. And by doing this, they were placing all the sins of the people on this goat. And then they would open the gate and let the goat go out of the camp, out of the gate, and go out in the wilderness to offer the sins of the people to God. That's what it was for. So that scapegoat represented Jesus Christ, who was crucified outside of the camp. So, and all of our sins were placed on him, even our sins for today, you know, sins that we do even in this hour. He died for our past, present, and future sins. So all of that was placed on him, and he was crucified outside the camp. So he was our scapegoat. So he died physically, and then he had to go into the spirit realm in order to fully take the punishment of Adam's sin. A lot of people don't understand that. We know that he died physically because he was nailed on the cross and all of that. You know, you've heard a lot of that about how Jesus was crucified, and people were a witness to it. They saw it happen. They saw his flesh being so beaten that he was unrecognizable, his flesh. But they didn't understand what happened after that. He had to enter into the spirit realm in order to take the full punishment of Adam's sin. Remember, he died for the whole man, mind, body, soul, and spirit. So he took care of the flesh part. Now the soul and the spirit, he had to do something between that. Anyway, let me finish. So he had to take the full punishment of Adam's sin, for the whole man, of which we were all a part of, because we were in the loins of Adam when he sinned. And the curse of that sin and the punishment was placed on us as well. Therefore, Jesus delivered us from the full punishment, which is death, hell, and the lake of fire, the full punishment of the sin. He delivered it. He delivered us from that, because he took the punishment for us. The Lord even prophesied himself that he would spend time in hell in Matthew chapter 12, verse 39 and 40. The Lord said, but he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of Jonah the prophet. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man, speaking of himself, be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. He is prophesying of his descent into hell. The heart of the earth is hell. The Lord also prophesied through King David hundreds of years earlier, when he said in Psalm 16, verse 10, for thou wilt not for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Now, this was the Holy Spirit. It was the Spirit of the Lord speaking through David. Hundreds of years before any of this happened, before his crucifixion, David was not referring to himself in this scripture. He was prophesying by the Holy Spirit of the Lord, Jesus Christ. He was prophesying Jesus Christ. And Peter made that clear in Acts 13, verse 35 through 37. Wherefore he said also in another psalm, thou shalt not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Peter went on to talk. He said, for David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on asleep. In other words, he died and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. He's saying David saw corruption, but David was speaking earlier that the Lord will not suffer his Holy One to see corruption. David was not referring to himself. David saw corruption, but he, Jesus Christ, whom God raised again, saw no corruption. That scripture was prophetic of Jesus Christ, who saw no corruption. Peter explained that scripture and made it clear that David was prophesying about Jesus Christ. In other words, it was Jesus Christ, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, the Lord, the Holy Spirit, speaking through David of his own experience in hell and knowing that God the Father would not leave his soul in hell and will not suffer him to see corruption, not suffer his body to see corruption. Jesus didn't burn in hell, and he didn't go to the lake of fire. That's not at all what I'm trying to say. Jesus didn't burn in hell. He went to hell, but he didn't burn in hell. And he didn't go to the lake of fire. So that's not what I'm saying. Some people misunderstand me. That's not at all what I'm saying. But he did suffer the sorrows of hell because he had to go to hell to take on the full punishment of Adam's sin and our sins that we were all destined to suffer. He did it for us. Acts chapter 2, verse 24. God hath raised up Christ, having loosed the sorrows of hell, as it was impossible that he should be holden by it. Hell couldn't hold him. He was there, but they couldn't hold him. To be loosed from the sorrows of hell means that you were in hell at one point, but God freed him and raised him up. Ephesians 4, verses 9 and 10. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? The lower parts of the earth is hell. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Therefore, he conquered hell, death, and the grave for us. Romans 14, verses 8 and 9. For whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Or as the Bible put it, sleep unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. We belong to him. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. That's why he now has dominion over the heavens and the earth. Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He had to suffer for the dead as well, for the souls in hell who never knew Jesus. They had to see someone who was loose from the pangs of hell so that they could believe as well and be set free. The souls that are in hell can still think, hear, smell, feel, just like they did when they were on earth. They still have their senses. Jesus had to go and free many of them. because he had to go to prepare a place in heaven for us, the living, and for them, those who were dead, who had no knowledge of Jesus, so that they could be delivered from the lake of fire that was prepared for the devil and his angels and for those who fully reject the Lord and refuse to repent. These are the ones who have earned a place in the lake of fire. Even many people today, they've earned their place there because they refuse to repent. They refuse to repent, and they've rejected the Lord, not just once, but many times. Many don't believe that Jesus went to hell because he told one of the criminals on the cross that he would be with him in paradise. Remember that scripture, Luke 23, verse 43? And Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto you, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Now, was Jesus talking about a 24-hour day, or was he speaking spiritually? You know the scriptures. A day with the Lord is as 1,000 years. 1,000 years is as a day. So within that day, he would be with Jesus. Is that what the Lord was saying? Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. But Jesus spent 3 days in hell. So where was the thief on the cross at that point? The criminal on the cross did not go to hell that day, because Jesus went for him. The body of the criminal went to the dust of the ground, but his spirit returned to the Lord. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 7. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. You see, the criminal went to the dust of the ground, but the criminal was not resurrected. He could not receive his resurrected body until after Jesus was first resurrected. Remember what Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 13. He said, "No man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven." Jesus has to ascend first to heaven in order to get his resurrected celestial body. And then we follow so that we can get our resurrected celestial bodies. That scripture in Ecclesiastes, when it says that the spirit will return to God who gave it, it's just the spirit that returned, but it's no body that returns. But we are looking for a body, a resurrected body. We want to be clothed upon. We don't want to be naked. We want to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. And that's why Jesus went to heaven, to prepare a place, a body for us. We follow him, but he has to go first in order to prepare a place for us. As it is written in John chapter 14, verse 2 and 3, the Lord said, "In my Father's house are many mansions, many bodies, many dwelling places like his body. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." The criminal on the cross was given a promise by Jesus. His destiny was sealed that very day. His salvation was sure, and he would be with Jesus in paradise. But first, Jesus would have to go to hell for him as well. He even went to hell for the other criminal on the cross, if that criminal would have repented. Then afterwards, Jesus would be resurrected. Still, many people don't believe that Jesus went to hell, because they say that when Jesus was on the cross, he said, "It is finished." And in Aramaic, he said, "It is finished, my bride." In the King James Version, it is written in John chapter 19, verse 30, "When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, 'It is finished.' And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost." He said, "It is finished." And yes, It was finished. Jesus was referring to something specific by saying, it is finished. Jesus was signaling to the Jewish world that there was no more need for sacrifices or temples because of his work. His sacrificial work on the cross brought ultimate fulfillment to what their sacrificial system foreshadowed. Yes, he fulfilled his mission as the sacrificial Lamb of God. His cross fulfilled and finished the prophecies of the Messiah's first coming to the earth. There was nothing written that was not fulfilled as far as that goes. And now his sacrifice was offered to his bride and to whoever will receive and believe in him. It is finished. Now the way is made. Now the way is made for all those who believe in him to go directly to the Father and no longer through a priest or a system, a denomination or organization. That is why the veil of the temple was rent. Matthew 27:51. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. We can now go through the veil directly to the Father in Jesus' holy name. Jesus had to die openly in front of many witnesses. They had to see him die. And Mary had to be a witness that he has risen. He is alive. But she couldn't touch him. He was raised from the dead, and Mary saw him, but she could not touch him because he said to her, touch me not, for I have not ascended to my Father. What does that mean? It means that he still had something that must be done. He had to ascend to the Father. He had to receive his celestial resurrected body. He didn't have that resurrected body. He was just brought back to life, and Mary saw it. But he had to ascend to the Father to get his celestial resurrected holy body. And then he returned and appeared before his disciples to show them the resurrected body that they too shall receive, and us as well. Then they were able to touch him. It was finished. But he didn't say all was finished. He still had to go into the bowels of the earth and die for those already in hell. Many saw him die, and many saw him after his resurrection, even to this day. Whenever Jesus appears to us today, it will always be in his resurrected, glorified, celestial body, and the body that he has prepared for us. And we will have an identical body, as just like his resurrected, glorified, celestial body. We will have identical bodies. Yes, he took the fulfillment of all of our sins. He died for us. So now we don't necessarily have to die. Why, you may ask? Because someone died for us. He even went to hell for us, which means that we don't have to go to hell either. Some people choose to go there because of their lifestyle, but you don't have to. Why? Because someone went for you. And that someone who did all of this for us is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when I say you don't have to die, understand that there will be people who will sleep, go by the way of the grave, and be resurrected in celestial bodies. But there will also be people who will be alive, walking, and will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. When the Lord appear, we will see him, and we shall be like him. We will see him as he is. And we will look at ourselves and see that we have been changed. We are just like him. We look just like him. But all still wasn't finished. When the Lord said, it is finished, it was finished. That particular mission was finished, but all wasn't finished because he still had things to do. Even after his resurrection, Jesus still had things to do because he had to go to the Father and then return in spirit, the Holy Spirit. He went to the Father, but he came back in the form of the Holy Spirit and dwelled in his people. You see, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit of God, it's all one. It's the same. And he came back as the Holy Spirit and dwelt in his people, in his disciples, and he's coming again and shall dwell in us in fullness, not by measure. Right now we have the Spirit by measure, but he's coming to dwell in us in fullness, not by measure, in fullness in this hour by means of his Holy Spirit with an even greater anointing than all of the anointings in the past. A greater movement than all of the movements in the past. This will be greater. He will fill us up with the sevenfold anointing of Holy Spirit and fire power, something you have never seen before, which is the seven spirits of God resting on us forever. When the seven spirits of God rest on you, he's on you forever. Yes, he will live in us forever, changing this world into the full kingdom of God. He will show himself to the world as our manifested King, our Lord, and our God, our Master, Savior, or Deliverer, our Healer, our Champion, our Provider, our Supplier, our covering, our Protector, our Peace, and the very love of our lives. Then the world will know that he is Lord, as it is written in Philippians chapter 2, verse 10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of the things in heaven and things in earth and the things under the earth. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all that you have done for us. We just want to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory, because you are worthy of all praise, Lord. You are worthy of all praise. The praise is yours, and we just lift you up right now. We lift you up, Heavenly Father. We lift you up, and we glorify and magnify your holy name, for you are for sure worthy of all praise.
Thank you.
You are listening to Christian Talk with T. Meyer and Tasila, T and T. And right now, tonight, you just have T, okay? Here's some scriptures in case you want to write it down for this week on this subject that we've been talking about. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, "For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but sent them to hell, putting them in chains of darkness to be held for judgment." And also 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 19, "For Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit, in which he also went and preached to the spirits in prison, who disobeyed long ago when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built." Also, you might want to write this, these next two scriptures down. Okay, it's Matthew chapter 12, verse 39 through 40. "But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." And the last one is Psalm 16, verse 10. "For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." Hallelujah and hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Here's L. Jerome Battle, Perfect Love.
Would you like to know a love so perfect? Well, let me introduce you to a perfect kind of love. Would you like to know His love is perfect? Well, let me introduce you to a perfect kind of love.
That love's so perfect,
'cause He knows what I feel inside.
He touches places
I try so hard to hide.
Those broken spaces
that once made up my life.
Love lifts the darkness
with His overwhelming light. Perfect love, perfect love. Perfect love, perfect love, perfect love. God is, He is perfect love.
Would you like to know a love so perfect?
Well, let me introduce you to a perfect kind of love.
Would you like to know His love is perfect?
Well, let me introduce you to a perfect kind of love.
His love is so perfect,
'cause He gave and restored my life.
In a single moment
He won my battle and my fight.
Those fallen moments
when I thought I would not survive,
His love protects me,
failing at no time.
Perfect love,
so perfect.
God,
oh, 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 oh.
He is
gave me your love.